Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us today. We'll be in the studio for 2 hours, 1 hour live. We're going to do a program after this. And if you want us to answer a question or talk about anything you want to talk about, well, you just call us at 1-800-229-3000. And joining me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. I have to tell you guys, I was Solomon was looking at something this morning on his iPad, and I said, what is that? Because it had this big word, atheism, on it.
Oh.
And he said, well, Dad, I have a friend who's an atheist. And I had to show him this little poster. And so here's what it says. Now, this is one 12-year-old to another. It says, the belief that there was nothing and nothing happened to nothing, and then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything. And then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits, which then turned into dinosaurs. It makes perfect sense. And we were talking about how, you know, really, when you think about it, that just there was nothing and nothing just happened and it became everything. You really have to have more faith to be an atheist than to believe that there is a God of the universe and it's all planned out and has been from beginning of time. Anyway, I love it.
That is so cool, but it's kind of like atheists, what he's saying, have to have magical thinking, right?
They really do, you know. And it is extremely depressing to think that it's all over when it's over. And quite frankly, I don't know that I would want to continue to struggle in life if I didn't think there was something better up ahead. You know, it'd just be like, what am I doing here? Anyway, I hope if you struggle, you will call us and we can give you some help. And we're hoping and praying that everything that we say here honors the God of the universe who invented dinosaurs, and what a great invention that was. And if you need help, it's 1-800-229-3000. And I'm just going to go right to the phones here, right up here at the top, and we're going to start with Barbara from Fidelia, Missouri. She listens on the podcast. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. And I'm doing probably better than I think I am.
Well, that's interesting. So you're either in denial of how well you're doing or how poorly you really are. So we don't know which, but let us what's
probably
going on?
A little of both.
Yeah, what's happening?
Well, I'm just going to throw it. Well, first of all, I just want to say I thank God that he led me to your ministry several years ago. I just was listening to your program, kept listening. Then I started doing some of the things that you were recommending to other callers, like attending support groups, and eventually did hook up with a New Life counselor. And it just has been led me on a path of healing that I'll probably be on the rest of my life.
Oh,
but anyway, there's my
hear.
New Life plug.
That is good to hear. Thank you for sharing that. And
that's awesome.
By the way, now that you're on, now I hear the music, and so I'll just ask you to hold on here. You are listening to New Life Live, and we'll get right to Barbara. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000, we'll talk to you right after her. And by the way, don't forget, you need a new item in your wardrobe. It is the most overpriced, undervalued T-shirt in the world. and written right on the back, I saved a person's life and all I got was this t-shirt and a tremendous amount of satisfaction. We're selling them for $100 to help support this ministry during the summer. You'll love this shirt. Call us.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. We're talking to Barbara. And Barbara, what's going on?
Well, I'm just going to throw out my question, and it's sort of a two-part question. It is, have I set a boundary or have I built a wall? And the second part of that question is, if this is a healthy boundary, how rigid should I be in enforcing it?
All right. So what's going on? Who's the boundary with?
Okay. With my 31-year-old son, who has struggled with addiction since he was 17, he's currently in the state prison system, but I understand that he is going to be out probably very soon.
Uh-huh.
He has reached out to me. I a few months ago, wrote him a letter and told him that I just could not be part of his life until he got steeped in a recovery program. And then I would need proof of him being active in recovery. And I've never gotten any of that. And so I guess, have I built a wall? He did reach out to me before he got sent to jail and just sent me a text, hey, how are you doing? And I did not respond, you know, which is breaking my heart.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting any proof that he's moving towards recovery.
Okay.
He's been in and out of jail, in and out of treatments ever since he was 17. And all the treatment that he's gotten has either been demanded by the court or myself. It's never been his choice.
Yeah. Wow. What's the primary drug that he's been involved with?
Heroin and meth.
Oh, it's so sick.
Oh, wow.
Well, you really must be in a quandary here. And so you thought, well, maybe if you said this, it would mean something to him and he would want to be in recovery.
Yes.
But I would just say this, given his resistance to anything helpful, I just, you know, I don't think this is a lack of love or respect of you. He is just really steeped into his addictive lifestyle, his addictive thinking, everything that has to do with addiction. And you're not part of that. You just, and it must really be a painful place for him to be. How much longer is he going to be in jail?
From what I understand, they may be letting him out next week.
Oh. Mm.
Really? Okay. So what?
Yeah.
You know, and he hasn't contacted you with, "Hey, I'm coming out. Here are some plans, or can you help me?" Nothing like that.
No. The only contact was he sent me an email from the jail source that he wishing me Happy Mother's Day, and that he would like to be part of my life.
Okay. All
right. And that's it.
Well, let's see what Jill and Dave have to say, and then I'll throw in my two cents after that.
Dave's the expert on that.
You gave him the right criteria. He's got to be in recovery for you to have a relationship with him, because otherwise you just become the enabler for him to continue in his addiction. It's a shame, because there's so much that's available in most jails and prisons that help somebody to get into recovery, because they typically can't use while they're there, and so they've gone through the withdrawal and they have a chance to build a new life. But it doesn't sound like he's done that because of what you said. So I think you are maybe a little bit too strong in your boundary, maybe, but I don't think so.
I've got an idea.
I think you're right on.
Let me throw this out real quick. What about this? I want to be part of your life, and now it meant so much to me on Mother's Day that you said you want to be part of my life. When you get out, what about us going to some meetings, recovery meetings, together, and let's be part of the good parts of life together?
Right.
So you're not reneging on your boundary, and you're giving him a little bit of, you know, he's not having to figure out where are the meetings and all that. It's just a little different angle on it than just that really tough stance, you know, of you just do this if you want me. What do you think of that?
That makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. My only problem is he's 3.5 hours away. When he gets out, he is going to return to where he was living, and he's 3.5 hours away, which is not a big deal. I mean, I'll make the drive. I will make the drive. I can't do it every day, and, you know, probably can't do it every week, but I can certainly do a few to try and get him started down that path.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was so far away. So that is unfortunate, but...
But
I think a visit from you predicated on that you want to be part of his life, and when you'd love to come visit, and would he be willing to stick with that boundary you set, and you guys go to a meeting together? Maybe a night. Well, what are you thinking, Jill?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking something kind of in between those, that when he does reach out, you know, you haven't been getting a lot of feedback, so you don't really necessarily know where he's at. And I think it's okay to respond, you know, I love you, and I'm waiting to, you know, just kind of reiterate what you are waiting for. I'm waiting to hear that you are choosing relationship over the drugs by being in recovery.
That's great.
Right? In consistent recovery. And so you keep reiterating, this is what, you know, you're there, you're not absent, you love him, but you can't be in relationship with the drugs. You can only be in relationship with a person in recovery.
But here's the reality. I mean, he's incarcerated, and he's not doing anything when he's got all the time in the world.
Is he or isn't he?
We don't know. He's not.
He is currently, but apparently, and this is just hearsay because I have not heard from anyone about it other than my son, my younger son, who he has been in contact with, that he's currently in, but they are most likely going to let him out because of overcrowding. But I will say this, the last time he was in for 3 years, and he did the Puppies for Parolees program. That's what he chose.
Okay.
Instead of recovery.
And so he has a brother that is in contact with him.
Yes.
So I would be asking the brother, do you think he's going to do anything differently? Could you encourage him? I mean, what a waste for him to come back out and then he just gets right back in. Did his brother indicate that he's got any plans that might make things better?
All he said was that he was going back to live with a girl that he was living with, who is also an addict, when he got out. so and his brother is married and has kids, and his wife is prohibiting him from coming around. Uh-huh. They tried to help him out the last time he got out of jail, and he was maybe sober for 3 months and then started using again. And so he wants to stay in contact with him, but he can't be around him either. So
yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I don't think this is the time to say, hey, I didn't really mean it. Because,
right, no.
I mean, he's going right back to live with an addict. He doesn't have... So I think you might want to say, it meant a lot to me that you said that on Mother's Day. You want to be part of my life. I want to be part of your life. Are you going to be getting into some kind of recovery program so that that's the last time you're ever... back in prison? If so, I sure would love to come visit.
Right.
Something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Be sure you're in Al-Anon. Yeah. You're getting support for yourself. It's got to be tough.
Yeah. I'm actually attending CODA and Nar-Anon. So.
There you go. Okay.
Great.
Good.
Double dipping.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm so sorry for what you're going through, but you're really making some courageous moves, some bold moves, and I think that's really commendable. Not
right.
easy.
It's
not everybody
hard.
Could. So don't give up.
Thank
whatever
you,
well, you do.
It came from the strength of God and through listening to your program and like I said before, just doing what you recommend, other callers do and get surrounded with other people that can support. So I really appreciate it.
All right, well, I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. I hope that maybe there's some way you could give that to him or the brother could or something, and that would help. All right, let's go to our next caller, and that is going to be Jeff from Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
Hey, I'm really glad to talk to you guys. I've been trying several times. I finally got through, so I'm pretty stoked.
Good. What's going on?
So my question is going to be how I need to respond to my spouse in two situations. First of all, she's been accusing me for the last 3 years of looking at women. I mean, it's almost like it turned into like a weekly thing now. It's like she, I saw you look past me at that billboard or that parking lot and that lady in a car or somebody in a grocery store or just a TV, the TV or anything. And I promise you, I'm to the point where when we walked to the grocery store for a while there, I was pretty much just looking at the ground just to keep from accidentally turning the corner and there'd be a girl standing there. But so what I'm trying to figure out is I've been out of the house for almost 3 months now, and I'm a driver, so I'm on the road. She was with me on the road because she helps drive too, but she pretty much said, you know what, I can't handle this, you being gone and me not being at peace, and I just need to heal. But we're still communicating back and forth, but she still keeps bringing up, she goes, I wish this wasn't it, because apart from this situation, our relationship is amazing. It's almost like we try to outlove one another. And it's just one situation, and I've denied it, and every time I deny it, she gets very, very mad at me. So I wonder, does she really believe she sees me doing that, or does she, I don't know where it's coming from, but I need to know how to handle those accusations when I deny them. She gets very upset.
Well,
we've been to counseling. We've been to four counselors, and she just rejects them. We've only been to him one time, and the last guy we went through twice, and he was the most promising. He was more of a therapist, and I just don't know how to respond to her. And my second question was, she keeps saying we just need to let go and move on with our lives, but then we end up communicating with each other again via text or something. It's almost like we want, we're telling ourselves we got to let go and get past this, and then the next minute we're saying, well, maybe that's not really what we want, but I don't know.
I'm confused. Are you saying... Go ahead, Joe.
She's saying you've got to let go of the relationship.
Yeah.
Because she thinks that if she lets go of the relationship, this problem of hers will go away. And I think the fact that, first of all, when you defend, you're not really hearing her. And it's the normal human thing to do, to say, wait a minute, no, I didn't do that, and to try to explain. But when you've done that a couple of times and it only makes it worse, then you know that's not the path to go down. And so it's really about leaning into her and saying, sweetheart, what's going on with you right now? Are you feeling disconnected from me? And looking at what has happened. And there can be, you know, even though overall you're saying we have a good relationship other than this, it's like, okay, there are the ups and downs through every day of kind of little, you know, disconnects that happen. And some people are more hypersensitive to that than others. And so really asking her, what are you needing from me right now? And leaning in so that it's about her, because the problem, the fear, is originating in her, and she's displacing it onto this paranoia about, you know, other women. When there's not enough evidence to support that, like you clearly have done nothing and you're really not, you know, other than glancing at other women, you know, acting out in that way, you have to know it's something going on inside of her that's a fear.
But it's confusing to hear you say that you love each other so much, but mm-hmm. you're out of the house. She's talking about moving on.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's really going on. So we'll find out what is going on right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Talking to Jeff here, and Jeff, Jill had a couple of questions here for you about your wife.
Oh, okay.
So, Jeff, I don't know if that was making sense what I was saying to you or not, but I'm also... go ahead.
I wanted to interject something real quick, because I went from, you know, going into defensive mode to saying, you know, let's counsel you. I basically said, let's go and, you know, if there's something that I'm not realizing, because she says, you don't realize you're doing it. Okay, well, that's fine. If that's the case, let's go to counseling together and let's both just kind of open ourselves up. So if I'm doing something that I don't know I'm doing, I certainly want to know that. And
right.
So I'm trying to put myself in, I'm not blaming myself. I'm just trying to cooperate with her and have her cooperate with me. But she just swears, she goes, nope. Those counselors aren't my eyes. They don't see what I see. Nothing they can say is going to change anything. And I don't know. I just don't know if I should keep trying to hang on to her, or just do it as she asks and just let go of her? And then I don't know what to, if I don't, what do I do when she just did the other day? Again, we were on the phone, yeah. And she brought up something that she says I did that I didn't do, and I didn't defend myself that time. I just, you know, I'm really sorry that you were going through this. I would do anything in the world. I all I have is my word, and God knows I'm not doing this.
Well,
I'm frustrated.
Let's talk about her a little bit and where this might come from.
Right. Yeah, and that's okay. Exactly what I'm wondering. What has happened to her in life that you can look back at and see where maybe this is coming from?
Okay. Well, I suspect it's coming from the fact that she had a very abusive dad. She had a very abusive stepdad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she kind of ran the house. Or where she was older of three sisters, and she kind of ran the house because, you know, mom was busy. And then she had, you know, a couple failed relationships, and she had mentioned that, you know, they had cheated on her, and one guy that she dated was looking at women and making comments about them to her. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, well, I thought you were different. You know, for 6 months, she never accused me of anything. And then after 6 months, all of a sudden she's bringing up stuff that she said she saw me do 2 months ago.
So the longer...
So, yeah, she has a history of...
Go ahead.
And it's too painful for her to deal with her history.
It is very painful for her, and it is, because, I mean, she gets very emotional and crying on the phone, and we both agree that if we could just get past this one thing, everything's great. I mean, she takes such good care of me, and I take good care of her, and I just try to honor her as much as I possibly can, and, you know, I don't call her names, and
but
anything
I'm wondering,
like that. I just get upset.
Jeff, you know, I'm wondering if you are representing all the men who have hurt her now, because the closer she gets to you, the closer we grow in closeness and intimacy, the more our most primitive issues come to the surface. And that is probably terrifying her. So it's easier to make you one of the bad guys than to really venture into trusting you.
Because it's too good to be true that he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I feel like. And she told me that. She goes, I thought you were different than all the other guys. Now I'm finding out you're not. Mm-hmm. So, I'm being labeled as one of those guys.
Okay, so for a solution, you're saying that counseling has not helped.
Or she's not willing.
I would also...
Right.
Tell you that if you could get her to the marriage intensive, there is a really good chance that we could help you guys a lot. The other thing that I would explore is where in the world could you take her to get away, the two of you to get away, where there would be the least amount of female distraction. No, the extreme would be that you take a trip to a monastery of monks, you know, so there are no women there. But, okay, so that's not it. But is there a mountain cabin somewhere, you know, where there's just the least amount of distraction where you could really come to connect with her heart? That is one idea. But I tell you, I hate for our answer, I've said this before, to be, okay, come to our intensive, because you didn't call the program to hear that. But this is one of those cases, if we could just get her there, it would open her eyes to so many things, and it wouldn't just be freedom in your relationship, but it would free her from so much turmoil and misery that she's in. I mean, this is a horrible, horrible way to live.
It is.
When you're suspecting everything is horrible. And yes, we collect all these pains and we put them on to someone else. And that's what she's done. And it's just really sad.
Right.
And I would tell her that you think you are now, you know, because you've gotten close to her, you are now representing all the men who have hurt her.
Yeah.
And that you don't want to be that for her, and that you're committed to her, to standing by her, and the two of you working through this. Like, you're willing to fight for her. And to fight...
Trust me, I have done... I've probably gone overboard, and I do it almost every day. I send her flowers, I send her comments all the time. I always try to lift her up. I've told her daily how beautiful she is.
Right.
Well, I'm going to send you this. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to send you two copies of Take Your Life Back, and be something you guys could maybe study together over the phone, so you're not just always talking about.
Send them the workbook as well.
Yeah, workbooks, and it'll get you focused on the future, the solution. I really feel for you.
Yeah,
and,
it's a hard
one. I hope something could happen to you. Yeah, Dave.
It's got to be the harder he tries, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Rebecca Vardenburn here. Larry Sonnenberg is here, and we're having some great, great results. People are signing up for Club New Life here to help us out, and it's just been fantastic to see the response this month. Larry, talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's very encouraging. I mean, we need to keep it going, but I want to thank everybody who is responding. You know, we're looking for 6 people a day to sign to kind of keep our target and our goal. And we've been achieving that the last few days, and we need to keep it up, because I want to quote something that came to us, an email, and it's quoting our good friend Dave Stoop. Dave Stoop recently said that Satan would like very, very much to keep you all off the airwaves and to destroy New Life, because Satan wants us to live in discouragement and pain and disbelief and mistrust and doubting God. And you're helping people heal, because once they heal and ever in the midst, they can help others and cross over into enemy territory and release the captives. I believe what Dave said. I'll pray for you more often than God keeps you safe from Satan's attacks. And I just think that we need to be reminded of that from time to time, that there's a spiritual battle going on in the midst of all the other battles that we deal with in life. Yeah. So thank you, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. And I'm so proud of some of the things that are happening. I was talking to a gentleman this morning who went through Every Man's Battle some time ago, and he said, you know, so often I talk to people and they're trying to recover from this, and they're still talking about what they deserve and how she didn't meet their needs and all. And he's saying, you know, my recovery is, well, what about her needs, not mine? What about having compassion for her, not her having compassion for me? And I was just so proud that that's the result that comes out when somebody gets help from us. And so I sure hope folks will help us to reach out and help as many people as we can.
Steve, I want to remind everybody there might be somebody who is not aware yet that we have this thank you gift that we call the best of the best from our authors who are the radio hosts here. And it includes the books Healing is a Choice by Steve Arterburn, Changes That Heal by Henry Cloud, Boundaries by John Townsend Henry Cloud, Forgiving What You Never Forget by Dave Stoop, How We Love, Mylan and Kay Yurkovich, Secrets Women Keep by Dr. Jill Hubbard, Every Man's Battle by Steve Arterburn and Fred Stoker, Intimate Deception by Sherry Keffer. 8 books. If you bought them, they'd be $129. You commit to $30 a month, and we'll send you that with your first gift.
And, you know, sure, we could have gone to the warehouse and say, hey, what's not selling?
What's left over.
Let's dump them off there. But we've said, hey, let's do the best of the best, our way of saying thank you. And if you've got these books and you join Club New Life, you can give them to a school or a church or something or somebody that could use them. And then if you're already a member of Club New Life, we don't want to leave you out. And so if they want these, they just have to increase their giving by how much a month is it?
$10.
$10. And then we'll send this to you. It's an amazing collection. It's the best we've ever done. So please let us send this to you. Come join Club New Life or increase what you're doing. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call. 1-800-NEWLIFE. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, everybody who is giving. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Let's go back to the phones. And how do we go to, how about we start, let's talk to right here. I was going to talk to Jamie from Orlando, Florida, but maybe I'll have to get back to her because that's not coming up. Let's go right here to Megan, Bedford, Texas, KWRD. Hello, Megan. How are you?
I'm fine. Just thank you for taking my call. And sure. I certainly love y'all's ministry. I really appreciate listening to y'all every day. I have two quick questions. The first, since Mother's Day just hit, my kids, I mean, they're late teens, and they never do anything for me for Mother's Day or birthdays or Christmases, and it hurts my feelings. And I've expressed it to them. I even yesterday, on the way to school, I said, you know, it really hurts Mommy's feelings that y'all don't ever do anything. And my daughter, you know, she got mad. She's like, well, I'm making you a card. And I said, well, you told me that for my birthday 2 weeks ago, and I still don't have it. And, you know, I'm not a gift person. I am a card person because my love language is words. But my 16-year-old son, he never does anything. And his love language is gifts. And so he expects things. And I do big celebrations for their birthday and fill the room with balloons and decorate and have a treasure hunt.
Are you a single mom? Yeah. Because usually it's these things happen with a dad that's coming along. And so where is dad in all of this? Where is he? And what's their relationship like with him?
Well, I mean, we have joint custody, but, you know, he never gives them anything. He doesn't do anything for their birthday, but they do stuff for him. You know, they don't do anything for me, but, you know, it's like my daughter took, you know, 150 of the Christmas money I gave her and bought something for her dad.
That's interesting.
It hurts my feelings, and I don't know how to get over not being hurt because I don't see it changing.
Right. I'm so sorry. Did you suggest that they remember their father for his birthday or Father's Day or something like that?
Yeah, when we were together, I always bought them something, you know.
But this last time when she took her money and did something for him, that didn't come because you suggested that? Because usually that's how kids step up and do something.
No.
Or the parent, the father says, well, I sure hope you're getting me something really nice for my birthday or, you know.
No, I mean, I kind of do that. I'm like, well, my birthday's coming up, you know, a card would be nice. Or my son, you know, he paints and draws and ceramic. I'm like, oh, if you want to just make Mommy something. Like I said, I'm not big, you know, diamonds and jewelry, don't need any of that. You know, I'm a words person, so a card or make me something.
Do they see you doing that for other people other than just them?
Oh, constantly. I put balloons on friends and nephews' doors and give them a goodie bag with money. And, I, you know, I'm famous for my goodie bags. And so I just do for everybody. And I give them, you know, Valentine's baskets and Easter baskets.
That's just so sad. I'm so sorry.
So, Megan, the consolation is they feel safest with you, and they're still trying to elicit something from their dad, right? So,
oh, I know. Okay. And I say that. You know, because he's always like, well, if you don't do this, I'll just get a new son. Or if you don't do, you know,
they've got to earn their place with him.
I don't have a daughter anymore.
They've got to earn their place with him. And that's sad for them. So that's some of that, right? You know, you have been so present, and you do so much for them that, you know, unfortunately, kids do, you know, take
it for granted.
Take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I think, you know, one of the things, and I'm a single mom with my kids, and I, you know, when they were young, would take them to a store, give them money. Okay, you can go in here and buy mommy a gift and buy your sister a gift or your brother a gift, because I was trying to teach them. And so as they've gotten older, there's been times where they've forgotten. And so we have a little talk about, you know, it's not that I need something, but everyone needs to be appreciated, and it makes you a better person. And so it's my job to instill some character in you and to not just have your life be all about you. And so this is an important thing for you to follow through on. And so, you know, it's not always spontaneous, but you know what? They get the picture. And I, you know, at times I've said, okay, how would it feel if I decided when your birthday came that I just was too busy and I wasn't going to do anything for your birthday? And, you know, so we talk through scenarios to help them develop a little bit of empathy and to see things from another side. And so, and then anything they do, and I'm sure you would be the same, I, you know, am grateful for and encourage and thank them. And, you know, it's, they're getting older, it's paying off. But it is, it can be discouraging, and I feel terrible for you.
And without a spouse to do that, and you have to do it yourself.
Right. Or grandparents can be of help, too.
Yeah.
Right? My kids' grandparents.
Well, actually, yeah, my mom, she did. We went down there last week, and she's like, I was really sad that you didn't do anything for your mom's birthday. Mm-hmm. And my daughter got all mad at, you know, my mom. And then my son, you know, she didn't say anything to him because he wasn't there. But he got all mad, and he's like, I'm not ever going to go down there.
And I'm like, that's an interesting. So... Wow. So you don't like hearing something, you know, that isn't necessarily positive. And when they get mad, I think you have to explore that. What are you mad about? What's this anger coming about? Right.
But it sounds like to me that they're really not giving their father a gift. They're paying a ransom, their own ransom, to just be free and not receive the punishment that's going to come if they don't respond the way he wants. And that's a horrible thing, and I feel bad for them and you and everybody else. Mm-hmm. But I just have to tell you, this is so easy to say, but don't get resentful of them. They're around a lot of selfishness over there. And
everywhere.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with some encouragement for you this week. If you struggle with anger, divorce, grief, weight loss, or many other things, we believe you can benefit from a life recovery experience. If you want to find a life recovery meeting, we can help you with that. Or if you want to know how to start a life recovery group in your church, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Reba, and she can get you started. Also, we have an app for your smartphone or tablet. It allows you to live stream New Life Live and catch up on archived programs. You can read articles. There are short audio and video teachings as well. Just go to newlife.com and look for the download the app link. It's right at the bottom of the homepage. Steve, back to you.
Thank you, Terry. We really do want you to get some help, and there are all sorts of ways to get that help. Mm-hmm. We've got a special, special event coming up, and it is our marriage intensive. Let me read you some statistics real quick. It's about our intensive is about intimacy, and it's not just sexual intimacy. But people are the amount of people that are having no sex whatsoever has increased from. People having sex once a week has gone from 51% to 39%, and the number. Of men under 30 not having sex at all is rising 10%. These are married folks. And so many people are going months and years without any kind of intimacy. Of course, some of this is pornography. Some of this is just total distance from each other. We can help you with this if you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sometimes he needs to be in every man's battle. Sometimes just both of you come to our marriage intimacy intensive, and we help you find a way to reconnect. And it isn't just about physical sex, but it's about emotional and spiritual depth in that relationship. You can get back what you once had, but you have to call us and let us help you. And that's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right. I hope that everybody will hold on. I'm going to go right here to Betty, Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Everybody else, hold on. We'll get to you in the next program. Betty, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty good.
Good. What's happening?
Well, I'm 62 years old. I've been divorced twice. Met a guy online, plentyoffish.com, 14 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want a marriage commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay.
I sold my house 3 months ago. I moved in with him until I could find something. Yeah. And I talked to him about, you know, we really shouldn't be living together. I don't think God would be happy with this. And he disagrees with me. Anyway.
What's the question for us?
Yeah, what do I need to do for me to... I just seem to have a problem getting away from this guy. I don't know if I have a lot of feelings for him. He says, you know, we're fine. He loves me. I love him. I don't know. Maybe some of it I'm kind of lazy, but I have like a financial issue at the same time living and supporting myself. Like I can barely make it.
Where's the money from the house? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I sold my house, and the amount of money that I have, because my house was paid for, I can't really buy much with what I have.
Where is that money? What's happening with... where's that money?
I invested it.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. I don't want you to feel bad. I'm just curious. You know, you listen to Christian radio, and here you are talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world did you end up selling your house to move in with a man that you're not married to? Tell me what... I mean, you had... For that to happen, you had to feel kind of desperate, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And originally I was just going to be there temporarily until I could find my own place, and I'm not finding anything. And he said,
"Well, you need to go rent. You need to go rent a place."
Yeah. I think that's
and
what
go
I'm
make
gonna
it
have
right.
To move in with a friend, rent a room from a friend.
I tried that. I tried for 2.5 months to find someone who would let me move in with them, and nothing opened up for me. Nothing.
Mm. Look, this man, when he says he loves you, he doesn't know what love is. If he thinks that living with you and not wanting to marry you is an expression of love. You've compromised you've compromised what you believe, and now it's going to be difficult, but you're going to be so grateful when you get yourself free and out of the clutches of a man that's more interested in you physically than he is in you spiritually and in any other way. So you're really going to have to...
relationship of convenience.
Yeah. Encourage her, Jill, because I know this is going to be tough.
Well... You know, he was very clear with what he wanted.
Yeah.
The problem is, you said what you wanted, but then you did the opposite. So you were not clear, right? Mm-hmm. And he was watching what you did, not hearing what you said. And so now he's doing the same thing. Doesn't matter what you say to him, you're still there. And so, right? So...
Yeah.
It's never going to go your way in this situation.
Ever. Never.
Ever.
Okay.
And
won't change.
Yeah.
And so we're telling you a hard thing because we care about you.
Yes.
And we wish that you moving in with him, he would have realized what a gem you are and that he would have said, oh my goodness, let's just get married and fix this. But he is really into him and not you. And I got to tell you.
A bit of a narcissist?
Oh, he's everything you wouldn't ever want to be
selfish.
Married to, or he would have never let you move in with him.
Right.
So please, I would move out of that bedroom from him. I would immediately get a place, a room or something. And then you're able to say to yourself, okay, I might have made a little mistake there back then, but once I saw what I had done, I did the right thing.
Right.
God will honor that. And now you're going to have to get into some, you know, a Sex Love Addicts Anonymous meeting would be so great so that you just don't ever fall into this again. Or get into a women's Bible study, a recovery group, something, so that if you're ever tempted to go right back to him, which you will be guaranteed, you'll have support from these other women. The reason you're with him is the lack of amazing women in your life that would have said to you, we're not letting you do this. We're going to stand at the door and prevent you from moving out. All right, I wish I had more time. Hold on. Anybody else, we'll get to you in this next program. Call us if you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join Club New Life and be part of helping people just like this. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can join Club New Life, we'll send you the best of the best. It's our Club New Life library. 8 wonderful books like Boundaries and Healing is a Choice, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, The Secrets Women Keep, Intimate Deception, on it goes. Please Join us with Club New Life. It will make all the difference in the world. And if you have $100 for this fantastic T-shirt, it'll save somebody's life. We'll put it to the scholarship fund. It's $100, and it says, I saved a person's life, and all I got was this T-shirt. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us or if you need help. That's why we're here. We love you. We care about you. Call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.